The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
This is the backlash to the fascist dictatorship. Nature Boy's trans now. You can't. A nostalgia act. That's as good of a note to start on. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a nostalgia act. It's Outrunners. It's a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars, making it your problem. This week's esteemed victim is another three-peat. I keep bringing him back. One of my five horsemen. It's...
Erica, hi. Three-time. Yes. If we get to five time, then probably something's gone horribly wrong.
No. Now you got it just for that bit. You did it. You're the third three-peat, but the first one to take the obvious path of doing the Booker T. I don't know why no one thought of doing the Ric Flair Booker T three-time yet.
I mean, what can I say? I'm so original, you know?
No, you're whatever the opposite of an innovator is, that. But, you know, complimentary. But welcome back. Happy to have you returning again.
Happy to be back.
Yeah, I had another guest lined up, and she got very sick. And it was like, oh, no, I'm not gonna try and make you podcast when you are very ill. So we didn't have an episode this week, and I was like, okay, I guess I got to do another one. And I was like, let's reach into this nice little bin. I call it gorilla position to look behind the curtain for you folks. This little box in a Discord where I put all the former guests. And there's, I try to put enrichments in there, blocks of cheese, things of that nature, doobies for those that partake. But, you know, it's where I keep them. And that's occasionally go back and go, hey, you want to do it again there?
It's been so nice to get some sunlight today and get out of the box.
Yeah.
Hamster chewed through that one block.
Yeah, well, Hamster chews through a lot of stuff. Hamster chewed through the box. I still don't know how Hamster chewed through a Discord server.
I mean, that's what an opossum will do, so.
Yeah, exactly. And it's ultimate Hamster. Like, they're already, amped up, we'll say. But now that you are back, where would you like to start, Erica? Would you like to eat our Nitro or our Raw first?
Well, let me throw it back to you. Do you want to start what I thought was good, or do you want to start with what I thought was bad?
Fuck it. Let's go. What would you like to start that you thought was bad? Let's go with bad first.
Let's go with Nitro.
Hey, me too!
Oh, man, this was a shocking...
This,
like, every time I've done this, Nitro's been the better show.
It has definitely leaned Nitro so far, but yeah. This was what I would have called a Raw Nitro. Is what this was. This Nitro felt like Raw, again, parentheses derogatory,
yeah,
like not good. So I'm happy you called that. Fuck yeah, cool. We're back on. See, this is why you're one of my five horse persons. So
on the same page, we communicate, we cut the ring in half, isolate a show.
Isolate, exactly.
Strut. And then beat the shit out of it.
Exactly. Woo! Yeah, fantastic. it's like the Ric Flair, but not problematic. We're taking it back. We're taking back the woo. That's what we should do. We take, because let's be fair, the Nature Boy Four Horsemen gimmick. That's just a doll in her posse. Like, you know, like we can take this back.
That we right. And he just
ours again.
The way he switches them out too, like he's always getting new ones, get the new hot thing. Yeah. Like,
yeah, exactly. The new baby queer that comes in and like you're the mentor, woo, and you're teaching him how to style and profile. Yeah. Makeup tips, you know, go to Sephora. Mm-hmm. So no, this is fantastic. We're taking it back. I'm declaring it.
It's for the dolls now, damn it.
It's, yeah. The concept of a Ric Flair is for the dolls. We're taking it. This is the backlash to the fascist dictatorship. Like, you let that happen, I'm like, well, you know what? Nature Boy's trans now. You can't.
I mean, look at that damn hair. Come on.
Oh, God, that's fantastic. So Nitro is back.
Nitro's really bad.
It was bad, but it took a week off and they forgot how to do it. It's kind of what happened. They just, it started with me going, yay, there's a proper intro. I missed you, WCW. Mm-hmm. And then it just got, Eric says, forget the canned stuff. This is live, not history, but history in the making. It's like a fuck you, Vince. And I was just like, okay, he's ready to come out swinging. And it didn't swing.
They came out swinging and they missed every time.
They missed every time, and possibly look at that right off the bat. Terry's here. Hulk is ripping shirts and dropping slurs. Hulk Hogan, apparently. the handicap match. It's Kevin Sullivan is, I'm so sorry to Kim Hugh, because I have come to start calling Taskmaster Tasky, the Kevin Sullivan Taskmaster Tasky, in my notes, and I feel terrible about it. I'm not gonna stop doing it because it makes me happy. Much like calling Scott Steiner Scoot, or the Dungeon of Doom, the Dungeon of Goon. Like, I'm not gonna stop doing it. It makes it makes me happy, and fuck you.
It's a good bit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the joy of this show, Erica, as you know. It doesn't matter if it's a good bit. If it pops me, I'm going to do it.
That's all that matters. Right? Keep the host happy.
Exactly. So Tasky and Double A versus Hulk. All that to say, it's Tasky and Double A versus Hulk.
Although, to think about it, we got lucky on this. This was almost a Hogan Booty Man tag team match.
Yeah, which we've gotten too much of recently. So, like, absolutely, we got a break there. Holy hell. Kim, I feel bad for Kimberly, doesn't get screen time, but she doesn't have to hang out with Ed. So, you know, who's to say who wins there? But noticeable moments for me. Hulk, purveyor of the shittiest figure fours.
God, yes. Continued. Twice,
and real bad. He insists on doing it poorly and looking confused the whole time. I'm just so angry. Every time, it's like when The Rock does a sharpshooter. It just makes me viscerally angry. Every time I see it, I get mad at how wrong it is. But he does it on Arn, and then Tasky just starts stomping him. Like, no, stop it, Terry. You're making everyone look bad. Like, just fucking cut that shit out. So Booty Man's hurt. But Kimberly's still here looking amazing, like just hanging out like a futuristic Pink Ranger. Doesn't have to hang out with Leslie. So she does her job, distracts the ref, and Hulk can like just hit everyone with a chair for a bit.
It's a handicap match.
Okay.
It is a handicap match. It's no DQ.
It is no DQ. Nobody fucking told me it was no DQ. None of these fucking chuckle fucks. We got three chuckle fucks and a dog. No one mentioned the lack of DQs, I think.
Well, this will come up again in the next match on the show, but like they did a very poor job of like explaining the rules, because if we're going to get technical, if it is a handicap match, there's no DQ. Like that's kind of one of the mainstays of WCW rules.
Fascinating. Yeah, because whereas in the Fed, it's like a tag, but like there's still rules. Like you still have to tag in and shit.
Right. I don't know if it's meant to be a tornado match, but yeah, like they definitely just let Hogan waffle both of them with a chair, and they both no-sold the whole thing the whole time.
It was so fucking. We're getting to the point, I think, where Hulk is not. I think we're already in 1996 at like Hulk can't work, brother. Like, not like he used to. So, like, right. He keeps bringing the chair out like a lot more than I ever remember Hulk Hogan bringing a chair out. And it just is so weird. It's all kind of boring and it feels forced. Like even Jimmy Hart getting kicks in on Hogan, which does please me, is just silly. And I don't like it. And not silly in my fun way. Like, you know me, I like silly. You know,
right.
Silly, some of my favorite shit. Listen to our previous guest Sawyer's International Object podcast to listen to me talk. at greater length than usual, believe it or not, about how much I love Silly.
It felt like they were going through the motions, and it also felt like they were like, it was like, let's get in, let's get out. Like, that was the only reason, like, Hogan didn't do his whole preening and stuff before the match, was like, he was just like, let's go, let's do the match, and let's get the fuck out. Yeah,
it was all very just whatever. Like, there's a few fun parts, like they try to do a spike pile driver on Hogan, instead he sends Arn flying into Tasky, which that's great. Yeah, that was good shit. You know me, again, I love when guy sends other guy into guy.
Like, just like, let's good. We got to do a spot. What's a spot we could do? That's the spot.
Fastball special, your ass. so good. So, but more or less, yeah, a couple slams, leg drop, boom. Hogan beats two guys because he's a superhero. Okay.
Yeah.
Woman sells out her sister and holds Liz in front of herself like a shield, like, of course. I love that shit, though. I love that, like, everyone's like, what's up with this woman shit? And they, like, feel bad, like, she's degraded for being called woman. And, like, you know, the feminist lady in me is like, yes, absolutely. But the person in me who, like, used to, like, work at BDSM clubs and shit is like, no, you don't understand. Like, you don't, you're not understanding the character that is woman. Like, she is a dastardly, they're calling her woman because they can't just call her bitch, like, right. Like, you know, so it's like the vibe is just like it's woman, like she's despicable and hot while doing it, and like, just, she's just woman. And I felt like this very much like showed that in a way where I could be like, see guys, see, this is what I mean. She fucking grabbed Elizabeth as a shield.
She absolutely, she totally gets her job as like what her character is for,
exactly,
for woman. Like, and she does it perfectly. Like, and I think that I forget what show we saw her on, like on the Patreon feed, but like when she was managing Flair, like she's a perfect match for Flair.
Yeah.
Like, she enhances him. Elizabeth looks super uncomfortable being, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, yeah, Liz just does not want, she continues to just kind of seem to not want to be there. She gave a couple good promos in this whole, like, I'm here to have, I took half my husband's money, sad thing that they continue to do. But yeah, she really just doesn't seem to want to be there, and like, whatever. And like, yeah, but more importantly, she's used as a shield. And Hogan says, no, 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 that's fine. I will beat up both of these helpless women.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think the thing we haven't talked about is what the stipulation for this match is, that the winner gets 5 minutes alone with the opposing team's manager of their choosing.
Wait, what?
So, yes, they kept saying this on commentary. So
how did I miss that? That's another thing. The commentary was so bad this week.
It was on really Nitro. Bad. It was
that
awful.
I started to tune it out like I do Vince and Lawler.
they mentioned that if Arn and Tasky won, they would get 5 minutes with the Booty Babe. And then if Hogan won, he got 5 minutes with like whoever he wanted, Jimmy Hart, Elizabeth, or Woman. And he spent, so that was why he spent all that time teasing beating up two defenseless women.
Oh my God. I thought,
before he beat the shit out of Jimmy Hart.
Well, I guess it's kind of better that there was like a plot reason, I guess.
But
the plot reason is rape culture. So it's like, is that really better?
And
no.
Like, God, like they even kept implying like 5 minutes alone. Like, God.
Oh,
like,
God, this is so gross.
The commentary was so awful on this show. Like,
It was really bad.
I put it here as like, this is why I can never be Mongo pilled. Silence powers have no effect on me. I will never be Mongo pilled. He's so bad.
He's gotten, I've been Mongo Pill, but the last like month and a half, I will say, he has been on some weird shit. We'll talk about it a little bit later, because
I
took a, li- I took a specific note of one because I was like, "Hey, hey, buddy."
I think I know what you're talking about.
Wait, please don't say that.
I'm not going to say it. No, I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure I know which one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. But like, in the only chivalrous thing that Jimmy Hart has ever done, he saves these helpless women. He tries to blow dust in Hogan's face, and it just misses completely.
I couldn't tell if he botched it or if he just dropped somebody's cocaine he was holding.
Yeah, holy shit, that could have gone either way. Like, yeah. Maybe that's why Terry beat his ass so bad. He's like, fuck, brother, that was my weekend.
That was expensive, brother.
Booty Man's going to be pissed. they just gave him, like, new sinuses, like, surgically. Jesus. That's so fucked up. So this is eventually, oh my God, the booth boys are just like confused too. They're like, what happened there? So eventually, like, whatever, he strips Jimmy of his clothes, which no one liked. And then here comes the Giant to choke slam the shit out of everything. So like Hulk no sells it, and I'm just so done. I'm so fucking done.
I could totally just laugh at this. Like, he didn't even like take a second to sell it. He just popped right back up.
I am so he did like Warrior did fucking Triple Paul's pedigree at WrestleMania, just not even
thing.
I am so mad. I got like irate at this and then like tried to find a calm, and I became, because now it's WrestleMania 3 again. And like, watching Nitro has turned me into Dr. Manhattan sitting on Mars. It's WrestleMania 3, and Hulk is slamming a giant. And then it's 1993, and Hulk is slamming a giant. And then it's April 15th, 1996, and Hulk is slamming a giant. Like, it's all these fucking guys. I'm so sad. Yeah.
What made me the saddest was, like, this crowd fucking loved it.
Yep, that's the saddest thing. They were eating it up. Thank you. You are on point, Erica. I should have you on more often. You're right. You're going to get to that 5 times. Hulk says some shit into the mic. Crowd loves him. So strange. It feels like they're pushing him extra hard tonight, and I don't like it. And, like, at the start of the show, they must have wanted to, like, break a huge rating, maybe, because they're coming back with a week off. And the one before this was a rough Nitro, like, production-wise. Like, the show itself would have been a good show if the production hadn't been, like, clearly off. It was pretty all right, but it was, they're having a rough time. I don't know what happened. But yeah, they took the week off and forgot how to do it. So we come back to commentary booth, though, and thus it's finally Pepe talk time. He's a little cowboy again. He's a perfect, he's an anarcho-commie little cowpoke dog. He's black and red.
I think that's maybe accurate because I think he's dressed as a coal miner because they're in West Virginia. He's ready to go to like Blair Mountain and shoot some Federales.
Yeah, no, he's gonna fuck a Pinkerton up.
Yeah,
yes, cool, Pepe, go for the throat, eyes, throat, balls. Remember this, Pepe. But speaking of eyes, throat, balls, back to the graps. an obvious feud fills our TV screen. It's Public Enemy walks out, and the Nasty Boys jump them with chairs and trash cans because it's street fight time.
And waffled them, it looked like.
Yeah, they fucking hit hard. WCW is doing hardcore wrestling on TV, I think, first, as far as non-ECW, because, like, ECW was in, like, certain markets. This was on TNT. Yeah. They're doing, like, a straight-up literal garbage match. Not to the point that they would get to, but there is some creative things with tables in this match.
I don't know if I would call it creative because it was
improvised.
Well,
yeah,
improvised. Yeah. Yeah, let's say improvised.
Clever. Not creative. Clever. As far as the two companies, I'd say like between these two, this is the first hardcore wrestling, and like it's like alternate universe versions of each other is how I feel about this team. Like different, like Public Enemy is like if the Nasty Boys did cultural appropriation and were raised by Paul Heyman, basically being fed cheap beer and popcorn and laying in a cage. It's terrible.
It's like you just. I can't with that. I have nothing to add to that.
I broke Eric.
I have nothing to add to that. That just sums up Public Enemy perfectly.
Yeah, no, it's just Nasty Boys with dreads. It's what the fuck. Yeah. Oh my God. or with braids, not your head. So like fucking
braids. Yeah, not even. They didn't even. At least, thank God, they didn't attempt to give them drugs.
Oh my god,
this match sucked. Oh my god, it was really bad.
It was bad. That's the other thing. Like, it'd be one thing if, you know, maybe like an Italian guy with braids wouldn't be that terrible, but this match was really bad. It was not good. It's a brawl. Woo. The enemies try to get the tables out immediately, get hit with them instead. Yeah, breaking things willy-nilly. And it's just, they're just all like hitting each other with halves of tables.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just dudes walking around smacking each other on the head
with various things.
Uh-huh. And then sometimes a table would come into play and I understand that it's like very unique for televised wrestling at the time. Like, yeah, you did not see this type of thing, but it's a poor representation of it.
Exactly. This is the Emilia Perez of hardcore wrestling is what. Right. Yeah, it's like, terrible representation. You can't even be happy to see it. It's just bad and racist.
It's like you compare this match to, like, say, the Gangsters.
Yeah.
Like, they understood how to put this kind of match together. So, like, yes, it's a bunch of guys walking around and hitting each other, but then two guys get in the ring and do, like, a big crazy spot. This was just guys wandering around the ring. Like, Bischoff's like, oh my god, the crowd is standing. Everybody's on their feet. They're on their feet and standing because they can't see.
Yeah, exactly. They straight up don't know what's going on. Everyone is having a bad time. We do start to get some high spots. Like, the commentary doesn't even know how to call this. Mongo especially just has no idea what's going on. Rocco tries to drop a leg from the top with a garbage can lid under his ass and misses. And, like, the whole place just goes, ooh! Like, oh, fuck. You know, like, my ass hurt watching that.
And he even stood out fully on it either. He tried to land as flat on his back as
that. It's just not happening.
It still definitely looked like it
stuck. That looked like it hurt so bad. But, you know, not long after this, though, he hits a bulldog on a setup chair, and that fucking ruled.
Yep.
Yeah,
that was a good spot.
I would say that's, I'm like, I took a lot of notes on this match because I was like, I got to find the good spot. There has to be. That was one of them. This is chaos, but the spots are getting better. Bobby seems bored. He's like, what is he grabbing, a chainsaw? And I'm like, okay, if I'm being honest, like, I'm bored too.
Bobby was not having this.
He really was not having this. This is not a Bobby Heenan joint. He does not give this to them. I give them credit for trying to do ECW with ECW guys, but they just don't know how to do it with any credibility yet. Like, they're not. Right. They don't get it. Really get it yet.
And the Public Enemy was not nearly the kind of team that could actually put a match like this together and, like, have it be effective.
Not on their own. You know, they had some great shit in ECW, and I will absolutely give them that. And
right,
the problem is that the best shit that they had in ECW was against, like, fucking Axel Rotten and them. Or fucking literally the Funk Brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like
like, they had some, like, people who knew how to do this.
Yeah.
Do it for them.
Exactly. Exactly. Because all they really were was edgier cultural appropriation nasty boys. That's all that they ever, that's just it. Like, that's the whole fucking thing. And I feel bad because, like, I do like some of their classic ECW matches, but it's like The Undertaker. I'm looking back now and realizing, like, The Undertaker wasn't what is good about good Undertaker matches. It's the people he's fighting is what's good about Undertaker matches. Yeah. It is what it is. Mago calls a pinfall a countout. Bobby corrects him.
Yep.
Everyone's having a bad time. The enemy set up a table, get knobs on there for, like, a senton. So he's, like, laying on his back, and Bobby says, wait, he's missing something. Should there be an apple in his mouth? I was like, you know, thank you, Bobby, coming in clutch near the end Robert of this Heenan. Match. Like, fuck yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Heenan. Knobs moves out of the way. Grudge goes through the fucking table. So the Knobs then sneaks in a pit on him for the win, and the Nasty Boys beat the ECW guys at the ECW match. this doesn't sit right with me. The whole thing reeks of Hogan because Knobs is his buddy. Yep. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. Knobs apparently makes in omelets. Like, they like they're best bros. All these guys live together in the same cul-de-sac in Florida. I hope everyone knows that. Terry and Knobs and Ed Leslie, like, they all, like, there literally used to be a house in Florida where a bunch of old wrestlers, like, just lived, like, old divorced wrestlers lived together, like, single dudes in their 40s and 50s. And it, yeah, like, Scott Hall and Larry Zbysko, and, like, it's the craziest shit. I heard an interview once with a guy, listeners, I'm not a professional, listeners, you know this. I hope this is one of the things you love about me. I try to give links and stuff, or at least let you know where I heard it when I can remember, but also I smoke a lot of cannabis for the arthritis and the glaucoma. No. But yeah, of course. But what was I gonna say? See, oh no, I did a bit without meaning to. damn it. But the whole point is that it was the Laps fan Scott Hall special after Scott Hall died. They interviewed this guy who was like one of Scott Hall's like his keeper, you know, like his handler, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Like in his later years. And like Scott was living in this house with like Larry Zbysko, and Larry Zbysko's like trying to sell like fake steroids and like barely legal, like Delta 9 steroids shit. Like,
yeah, that sounds like Larry.
Yeah, he's a living legend. Like, was. Yeah. Wait, is Larry Zbysko alive or dead? Is that, wait, no, that's my one.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I gotta check though. This is my one for the week. You know, this is it, folks.
This is your journalism.
Well, no, but every once in a while, I'll say that a wrestler is dead when he's still alive, and I gotta make sure. Oh my god.
No, he's dead. He's heckin' dead.
He is heckin' dead. All right. Well, formerly living legend Larry Zbysko.
Glad we confirmed. Don't sue us, Larry. Don't haunt us either.
Wait, no, he's alive.
Wait, what?
No, he's totally alive.
No way.
Hold on. Yeah, no, Larry Zbysko, still living legend.
Damn. All right, well, don't sue us then.
Oh, that was fun.
I don't have anything anyway.
See, folks, never listen to a thing I have to say on the podcast, so please do keep listening to things I say. tell your friends, listen to things that she said.
Listen to what she said.
But, you know, with a grain of salt. But the Public Enemy, though, they say that, fuck this, that's our heat, damn it. They have a table on the outside already set up, and they attack Sags.
Oh, God.
This was fucking wild. They get Sags on the table, grunges on the apron, and this was fucking cool. Rocco runs and hits the, like, over-the-top rolling senton into his own partner on the apron, who like catches him, and they both fall back onto Sags through the table. Fucking,
that was super cool.
That was like the one cool thing that happened.
It was super cool, but it looked like it sucked so much that it had to hurt a whole lot.
There was no, yeah, it was one of those things where I was just like, why? That was like Darby Allin levels of just like, there's no way of doing this gracefully. You're just gonna hurt everyone involved.
That was cool as shit, but ow, my ribs hurt watching that.
Yeah, don't do that. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you guys don't, are don't all... do that. Like, I think there's a reason why nobody, I think, has copied that spot.
Yeah, because, and it's like, and you guys are not, like, the most athletic folk in the back room there.
No,
like,
they're very large men.
And, like, I just feel like that hips were displaced, you know? Like, that was rough.
Yep.
So anyways, I go to commercial pretty happy. Come back even happier because it's Regal's music. And I was like, fuck yeah. But I was bamboozled because it's Robert, the Earl of Eaton.
Earl Robert Eaton. With Jeeves.
With Jeeves. Yes, we get a Jeeves. I think it's
Jeeves with a
G, though, isn't it? Is it Jeeves with a G? Or did they do it proper? I can't remember.
I think they did it proper.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I'm just making that up, apparently. But Bobby says the crowd, Heenan's not giving the respect to this man from England,
right?
Knowing full well that Bobby Heenan is from like fucking Alabama. Like, fucking, yep. Damn it, Heenan.
whoever came up with this idea for Eaton is either a genius or it was like the biggest rib he could think of.
Fucking right. I don't even know, but like, holy shit. I mean, this guy, listeners, I need you to understand that Robert Earl of Eaton in the 80s was to many, many a young person in the South, a sex symbol. This was a heartthrob. Now he's Robert the Earl of Eaton. This is what the how the mighty have fallen.
I couldn't think of anything else for him to do, so he's fancy British guy.
Yeah, well, and that and Regal needed a partner, basically. Like
Regal needed a partner, and they couldn't make Regal. I actually would have liked to see them try and make like Regal like a Southerner.
Oh my god, that would have been really well, Vince did that later on for like a month, remember? He's a man, such a man. He made him like the blue collar.
He didn't make him a Southerner. He thought he was just a lumberjack.
No, he made him like a blue collar worker. He was like a construction worker. Okay. Like he was a blue collar guy. So it wasn't necessarily Southern, but they tried to make him like American, you know.
That's what I mean. Like try and make Steven Regal do like a deep South accent. Like Louisiana drawl.
I bet you he could. The man's a fucking genius.
That would not shock me if he could do it, honestly.
Oh my god, now I need to like find out. That's another one adding to my list of people that I would want to interview, even though I'm not a journalism podcast. Fucking Dustin Rhodes and William Regal.
Yeah,
just cuz I want to know what the fuck, dude. But this is going to be a bloodbath, I think.
I didn't expect him to get as much offense in as he did.
But yeah, here comes our ever more unhinged Florida man done wrong by his woman, Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know them women.
Yeah, representing Team Tassels hard. The crowd is behind this poor, heavily divorced individual. there's another commercial and oh the joys of 90s TV because we literally just got the two entrances and then another commercial. I was like, oh my god, I felt the 10-year-old in me like swear under their breath because of the fact that
it's just like
what
I can imagine watching that on TV live, like yay Randy Savage, oh
like yeah god damn it, like oh so like it's still that's see that has to be nostalgia too, the stuff that pisses you off. I immediately was like, no, this is a familiar sting. They try to give Elizabeth shit on commentary for taking half of Randy's money in the divorce, and Bobby for once is on the side of justice. He says fuck that, let her spend it, she earned it. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, dude. Fuck
she
yeah.
worked for
she
it.
She absolutely did. Like, being married to Randy Savage is work.
Like, that's a full-time job.
Oh, hell yeah. That's full-time babysitter. And or sex maid. Like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it depends on the day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Well, now I'm imagining Danny DeVito as Macho Man. Let's make it happen, Hollywood. Let's go.
Let's go. Fuck it. Somebody with Photoshop.
Yeah, right? Someone better than me. But all of this is an effort to plug Macho Man being a guest voice on Dial M for Monkey, a cartoon.
Yes.
And they cut to a dude in the audience dressed like a Fred Flintstone mascot suit. And I again feel like I'm coming up on the bad drugs.
This just made me feel old. I was like, did that? Because I know what cartoon they're talking
really?
About. I was like, did that really come out? Yeah. It's a very, I don't know if it's famous necessarily, but it stands out to me because I've seen it a whole bunch. It was part of Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh,
because like he had a monkey that he experimented on, so like it was a superhero.
No, I do remember that.
So the episode Randy was in, he was the intergalactic wrestler Rasslor, who came to challenge the heroes of Earth to wrestling.
That's amazing. Holy shit. No, I do remember Dial M for Monkey.
Yeah. I had to check it out. It's like, is that, I was like, what the fuck are they talking? Oh, it's this. It's the episode that ends with Randy's character saying, I spare your earth. In one of the most iconic line readings that I can remember from my childhood.
That's so fucking Randy Savage. God damn. That's so Florida Man. Fuck yeah.
He did like such an amazing, he did a pretty good job on that. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
That's exquisite. I'm sure we could, I'm sure you could probably find it on YouTube. But this is great. Bobby Eaton, having no heel heat of his own in this gimmick at all, decides to copy Flair's moveset, and he like struts. And in case you didn't get it, he was doing it. He pulls out a Four Horsemen t-shirt out of his pants while in the figure four. Like, they're in the figure four, and he pulls the shirt out of his pants, doing a bit, a gimmick in the figure four. This is a little much, guys. Like,
I get what they're going for, and it kind of popped me because it's like he's got nothing else going on for him. So, yeah, he's just like, let's just keep taunting an angry Randy Savage. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep amping the ante.
With a group in a situation he's involved in that I have nothing to do with. Well, but, oh, God, it just made me giggle, too, because it's like a way to show that it takes zero concentration to hold Randy Savage in a figure four. Because you could you could be like, I don't know, doing math, like other things. Like, you got other fucking things going on, reading a book. You know, and he's just sitting there.
I guess the thing I appreciated about it, thinking back on it, was that it's kind of showing that Randy's story is not happening in isolation to the rest of the company.
Yeah. Like,
everybody knows he's going through the divorce with Liz. Everybody knows he hates Flair. So what's an undercard guy going to try and do? Try and piss him off, throw him off his game, except you can't make the Macho Man angry.
Yeah, I do also love when there's like a confluence of heels. Like when the heels all like have each other's backs just because they're heels. It's exquisite. I do like that.
It's like they all know, what's going on. They all know their weaknesses. Like, they'll exploit them. They should.
And like Sting, I hate that guy. The fucking Boy Scout. All of them hate Sting because he's a goody two shoes asshole and blah blah blah. I love that shit. But this was a little. I do have to say,
well, they took it pretty far. Like, I thought Jeeves could have been the one wearing the
shirt. Yeah, yeah.
At least.
Or something, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Like, do it something else. Have Jeeves pull it out in his face. Not the guy who's in the move with you. That's the single aspect that was too fucking much for me, is that he's in the move when he does it. That's just, that makes it go from, like, a good bit to, like, cringe in a bad way.
still a better figure four than Hogan.
Yes, still a better figure four than Hogan. Speaking of cringe in a bad way, commentary, they are sounding and acting more like the WWF. That's what it is to me. It's really bad. Like, let Heenan be Heenan. Stop over-telling your stories, guys. Like, and for fuck's sake, give me a Tony Schiavone. I'm ready. Like, I never thought I would miss Larry Zbysko.
More than anything else, I'm sick to death of Bischoff. Bischoff's bad.
He is
at commentary.
Very bad. He in that sense, he very much is like Vince. Like, if he's wanting to be like Vince. He sucks at commentary and needs to be done. Absolutely. But yeah, fucking hell. Macho Man wins with a big old elbow. Truly iconic for a reason. Beautiful. Can't blame the guy. He goes for another one after the win to really drive home that he has evolved into unhinged Macho Man. And then, again, in a confluence of energies, all these well-meaning baby faces come out and hold him back and, like, handcuff him while the commentary does enableism and says he's deranged and needs to be locked up and all this fun stuff. And I was like, okay, I love the baby faces coming out for what is supposed to be a baby face. You know, like, we were supposed to have his back. And that is something that is, it. You get it occasionally. I think it's one of the things that, it's why I liked Cody finishing the story as much as I did, and wasn't like that ending of that match could have been really, really bad and corny and cringy and terrible. And in ways it was, but it was saved by the fact that I do love that energy of all the baby faces coming out to have the baby faces back, you know, and like having fucking Seth come out, you know, and like shit like that. Like, everybody is gonna try their damnedest to just kill this fucking guy. Like, we're just so fucking sick of this asshole.
I think that's what makes a good wrestling company, separates a good wrestling company from a bad one. It's like it not each story happens in a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes it make sense when stuff like that happens, and that's how you stop it from being cringe. And I feel like they kind of gotten away from that a little more. But this was a really, really good instance for it. This era of this story, not this Nitro. This Nitro fucking sucked.
This was a bad one. Yes, as we've established.
As we have established,
Yeah,
and we will continue to establish.
it had, like, to give credit, it did have some good story beats. Like it, like you said, the baby face coming out to try and talk down
Yeah,
Savage.
there's things that could have worked. Bobby says in all his years he's never seen anything like this, and I was like, there's a reason this kind of sucks.
Yeah, I was even trying to think of, like, how many instances of, like, have I seen something like this happen where it's not a pull apart brawl, where like baby faces aren't just like, oh, you gotta, or are actually just like, you gotta stop, you can't do this. This isn't you, man.
Yeah, it doesn't happen
It
all the
doesn't it.
time, I could think of.
But yeah, you see it. I guess you see it in pull apart brawls sometimes, but it's not nothing like this at
No,
all.
this was like a whole other thing. And again, anytime we talk about this era, this like arc of Macho Man, I'm gonna think of fucking Hangman Adam Page on his current drag too, where he's just the swerve shit broke him, and like and it's that
Yeah.
sort of thing where like everyone's kind of doing that thing, but they're not doing it like this. They're doing it like backstage and promos and over time, and Christopher
Right.
Daniels trying to talk sense into him and all that shit. John Darnielle this week quote posted a thing that I quote posted of someone's fan art of Christopher Daniels talking to Hangman Page with like an inspirational
Yeah,
quote,
I saw
and it was
that.
so fucking, I'm just like, that is, I love pro wrestling. Like the fact that someone can make that kind of art, and it's just like, it's so like teenage girl, like anime fan art kind of thing, but also like sincere, but also about a guy who did arson and drank blood. And like and all those things at once. And it makes me so happy. And the mountain goats are there.
It's okay.
Yeah,
Yep.
and yeah. John, you're a mutual now. Come on the pod. But this is a fucking awful Nitro that had good points. We come back to a poster from commercial for a Sam Jackson movie called The Great White Hype. And I admit
Oh,
having
yeah.
no idea what this movie is about, but I'll watch anything with him in it. So I was like,
I
I gotta
think I
write this down.
listened to it on the radio once
Listened to a
because,
movie.
yeah, because, all right, so like the local ABC affiliate has like a radio, like you can pick up their TV broadcast on the radio. So like I
Ooh.
remember I listened to it on the
That's
radio.
amazing. Fuck yeah. I would listen to
I
Sam
was like, I don't know what happened.
Jackson. I could put it together. I have often said that I would listen to wrestling on the radio if you had good commentary. The right commentary
Yeah.
team, I could listen to wrestling as a audio-only medium. I think that'd be fucking great. But yes, we come back from the Great White Hype, which I just threw that in there because I was like, does anyone tell me if this movie's any good? Let me know.
I don't remember.
Cause
I wish I could tell you if it was
yeah,
good or
because
not.
I saw the poster and I was like, I've never heard of this. It sounds amazing. Just off of Sam Jackson's face and that title, I want to know. But in the meantime, Liz and Woman make their way out looking fucking amazing, like so good. Black and gold matching their team because it's Flair and Giant. So Flair's in the gold robe, Giant's in his usual black. And I was like, this is actually really solid stuff. Flair goes to the front row and flirts with Mongo's wife, everyone.
That's
Deborah
my first note on
McMichael,
this match too.
Mongo's wife is here.
Was like, I just have Mongo's being cucked live where the big boys play.
Which means that Mongo's time on commentary is not long for this world at this point, because
Thank God.
thank God, but she's there to be a valet for her husband, and she will be
Yeah, but
carrying the Pepe.
The unfortunate part about Mongo getting off of commentary is we're going to have Mongo matches.
Yeah, that's the only worst part. And folks, he never gets better. Like, he's just, that's the story of Mongo the wrestler. Is he's all right. He never gets better. But all of this happens, and it's, they're just making it normal, make fun of Mongo on commentary, like right next to him, like basically making fun of him, like, Flair's doing cuckoldry. So, like, all this Horseman stuff is fucking weird. Sad Sack divorced Macho Man. I love it, but it's weird. Flair is collecting women like Pokemon, basically. Like, this, it's so strange. Like, I got woman, and I got your wife, and I got your money. Woo. And there's a giant here. Woo. And we got the tag champs, Boy Scout Sting boyfriend, and Golden Retriever puppy girlfriend Lex Luger. So,
yay, puppy girl Luger.
Puppy girl Luger, let's go. Hot dog man.
Hot dog man.
Sting and Rick face off. They have a woo off, as is tradition. Yeah, like, that's the thing these guys do every time they meet. We have to do our various woos. Now,
I was going to say, this one had a special guest in that Flair wooed, and then what did the giant do? That's all I can say. He even, like, cupped his mouth, too, and he did it.
Fucking amazing. No, like, Giant is the WCW Vader for me right now. Like, because Vader, yeah, we'll get to Raw. Vader is very Pokemon right now. Like, Vader! And Giant's just, Giant! That's all they got. It's time for a new segment, though. We have to pause the show. New segment on Monday Night Fake Fights. No genders, any gender. Okay. Dudes rock. I'm not sure if you saw this, but as Stinger and Flair are locking up in the crowd, across from the hard camera, maybe 8 to 9 rows back, there are two guys with two other guys on their shoulders, and they are both doing the Lex Luger torture rack finisher to their bros. And I no longer care about this match. like, this is,
I miss this.
I just have to point out,
yeah,
dudes fucking rock is what that is.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a very dudes rock moment right there.
Holy fucking shit. I say dudes, all gender, wow, no gender, just dudes rock. And I hope that they come back, because that was fucking amazing. And God bless the guys who were like, get me up, dude. Like, bro, get me up. I can do it. Like, rack me, bro.
I'll have to go back, because I did not notice that.
It's right near the, like, beginning of the match. Like, the match barely fucking starts. And there's just these guys racking some bros.
Oh, man. Bros racking bros.
Bros racking bros. Just dudes racking.
Rack me, bro? Yeah, bro.
Bro, rack me, bro? Yeah, bro.
I'll rack you, bro.
Rack me, bro. That might be the title. All right, yeah. So meanwhile, though, the match continues. Fucking rack me, bro.
Rack me, bro.
That's gonna live in my heart forever. But anyway, sorry, I'm trying to continue, but all I can think about is rack.
I gotta compose myself now.
Rack me, bro. All right, so that's a great bit. God damn it. This is great, though. This was fucking awesome. Stinger gets Flair up in a military press.
Yes.
Yeah, so he has this. So the 7-foot giant is on the outside. And he's like, this would make a great target for a Ric Flair. So he throws Rick into the giant, who, being a giant, catches him and, like, it's nothing. Uh-huh. And then just rolls him back in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And Flair looks back at the giant all pissed off, like, what the fuck are you doing? And then meanwhile, while he's doing this, Sting is tagging Lex in. So when Flair turns around, he's turning into, like, sweaty, flexing Lex in his face.
Smacks right into the hot dog.
Yeah, oh, right into
is,
the hot
dog. This is fucking great.
And it's like, this is great. This is fucking amazing art. This is cinema. It gets better. Uh-huh. It gets so much better. So, like, well, because then, okay, of course, he acts freaked out. Lex immediately puts him up. into the military press and tosses and then... him into the giant again, who then catches him like it's nothing and rolls him back. And this time, when Flair gets in, he's stomping mad. He's like throwing a fucking tantrum. It's so good. It's one of those.
This was a show full of bad matches. This was so much fun.
This was really great. And like, just even like the rest of the match isn't that great, but this one section was great. Right. Oh, this is the one of those pro wrestling is better than that thing you like moments for me. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Silver Streak with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Maybe, I don't know, actually.
This is a deep cut, folks. I'm sorry. I'm an old, and even though I'm not old enough for this movie, when I was younger, I was still an old, so I liked old movies. So Silver Streak is a part of a wonderful run of movies that Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor did together. And there's very problematic blackface in it, but it's also like one of the funniest. It's a great movie, but there's a reoccurring bit where Gene Wilder keeps getting thrown off this moving train. And every time he gets thrown off, he just stands up like, son of a bitch. Like, it keeps... God, and I was just like, that's Ric Flair right now. He's just hopping mad. So like, this whole match could have been over for me after that. I was just so fucking good.
I think like after Flair had his little temper tantrum, he like runs out of the ring and he chops the giant.
Yeah,
he tried. And just like, no.
Yeah.
What? And he chases him to the back. And that's how they throw the commercial.
Yeah, no, he gets so mad.
I wish that was the end of the match right there. That was perfect.
No, that should have been it. Yeah, but no, they can't. They've made up by the time they've gotten back together, though. They went to commercial break mad at each other, but we come back and they're technically a cohesive team. Lex is a screamer tonight. Every piece of human contact gets
I love Lex.
I love Lex, but he's got to get a new noise. The girls attack Lex on the outside, and Bobby says, "Well, obviously he must have done something to upset a woman. Don't just attack like that. Like that's not a thing girls do." Like, I was like, "I love you, Bobby."
Bobby.
Yes, the women do in fact attack like that, but they have reason. Mongo says Lex is being. Here we go. Here it is.
Oh,
here okay. It is. All right. Remember, I said we got there.
All right.
Mongo says Lex is being.
We should maybe trigger warning this for like obvious racism.
I mean,
oh man, this is bad.
I don't even know about the obvious racism. Like, wait, where we have different ones then.
Oh, do we?
Maybe? Oh, my right. God. Go. Oh, my God.
You say yours.
Okay,
you say
well, yours. Mine's trigger warning for violence against women and a little bit of homophobia. We'll get there. Mago says Lex is being swung around and abused like his little sister's Barbie dolls, and I need Mago to see someone, just anyone, talk about it. What is going on, guy? Bobby, for his part, says, you played with dolls? Like, and I'm like, that's not the weird thing to get from that, Bobby. Like, is it?
No.
And he's like, no, I beat him up and stuff. And like, Mago's talking about like beating up and destroying and causing harm to his little sister's Barbies. And I'm just like, that seems, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not a boy. But like, why would you do that? Like, why would, I don't know. That seems weird. Like, I had Barbies that were like already broken that we had fun destroying because they were already broken. So we like came up with fun new ways to destroy the doll, but that wasn't like to cause harm to my sister. That's just psychotic, dude. What the fuck?
Like, my sister had Barbies too, and I just left them alone.
You know, it seems normal.
I didn't feel one way or the other. Well.
Okay, so now I need to know what was your what the fuck, Mongo?
All right, so this is, I don't even want to say it out loud.
Oh, it was that I missed something bad then.
No, this was really bad. I forget who was. I don't even want to say it. It's a heavy trigger warning for racism.
Okay. Well, maybe not.
It's
Oh God, maybe we
all
don't.
right. No, I don't feel comfortable saying it, but to long story short, it was a Rodney King
Oh
joke.
my God. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
All right.
about in the I don't want to say
Yeah,
it.
but there was
It's
a
very
that's why I have
bad.
to say it, a Rodney King joke.
It was a very specific, like, not like name drop Rodney
But
King
it was
name,
a
like
but it was a
what happened and like
yeah.
what happened.
Okay, well,
And it was
I
supposed to be aha funny.
All right.
Thank
Yeah,
God we
I did not even pick up on that because again, the
That was
commentary
bad.
sucked this week. It was not
That
great.
was one, like, he dropped that line and I paused it and I had to take a minute. Like, I really
Yeah.
did.
That's
That was really.
Nitro keeps doing that to me, but that's the first time someone who worked for Nitro would have done that. The
Yeah.
last time that happened to me is because there was a guy doing a Zig Heil in Alabama. That was a wild one. Yeah, that was Silent. That was the last time Silent was on. We should have Silent back since I'm doing my horse people. So that's terrible. Fuck.
That was really
That's
bad.
real
That was really
bad.
bad. That just killed the rest of the match for me. Like, I was just like, let's just
Yeah,
finish
exactly
it.
what I
I
was gonna
don't
say. It's
care.
as bad as the rest of this fucking match. Like it's whatever. There's okay. There's some good stuff, I guess. Rick does this. There was one fun thing. Rick does his like inside out whip into the corner, and he lands on the cameraman. That was cool.
That was funny.
That was a good spot. Like even like, hey, I'm sure. I hope it was on it. I want to believe it was on purpose. Because then it would be a good spot, and also we feel bad if you just accidentally. No one wants to accidentally get hit with a Ric Flair, like that's.
I think it was an accident. It seemed
Oh,
like the cameramen were taking a beating tonight. Like,
God.
somebody got hurt in the Nasty's Public Enemy match. Like, one of the cameras went flying there.
Really? I missed that too. Jesus fucking Christ, guys, be nice. Are you like giving them shit for fucking up production last week? I'm pretty sure that was on the guys in the back. I think I was on Bischoff. Let's play Bischoff. Feels good.
Bischoff would have blamed the cameraman.
Right. So like
That sounds like
sounds
Bischoff.
like Bischoff.
God.
So there's fuckery. Elizabeth goes to toss coffee in Lex's face and Lex ducks so it goes in Sting's face. Getting a
That's a
DQ.
DQ.
Yeah, getting it. Yeah, getting the DQ
That's a
finish.
DQ.
Yeah, that's a DQ. Can't do that. That's in the rules. Can't do that.
Get their
Can't
coffee.
throw coffee. So they're trying to continue this idea that like Lex is messing up on purpose or whatever. Yeah, and that's how they end it.
I'm not,
Woo.
that's how they end it. Like, I'm not buying the whole the angle anymore that Lex is like secretly after like messing with Sting at this point, because one, I don't want to believe it because the Sting Luger bromance is one of my favorite parts of WCW right now. And then two, it's just like it doesn't make sense. Like, all you gotta do is just be like, he ducked.
Yeah,
Like, he ducked like he was being shot
yeah,
at.
like they're trying to it's grasping at straws with what shouldn't like it can be done. I know that this bit can be done well because it there was a couple of weeks there where they were doing it well and it was actually really it
Right.
was popping me. I was like, no, I really like this. Now it just feels forced. But yeah, while they discuss this whole thing on commentary, Giant comes out and choke slams the piss out of everyone in the ring. And just because, even though
And
they
yeah.
lost, like, fuck it, I kill you now, match
Screw it.
over. Yeah, Flair goes for the three count on a passed out Sting, just cause. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Why not? Why not?
One, two, three. He seemed to like not understand. Like, why is there a DQ? One, two, three. Come on.
But
Count
yeah, I
out.
did.
Count out.
Well, to be fair, I think he was in a Scorpion Deathlock when the coffee throw happened. So he probably legit didn't understand that I've been DQ'd.
That is probably true, yeah.
Yeah, he's too busy
Oh,
getting
man.
stretched. So we cut to commentary, and Bischoff is handcuffing Heenan. This is kinky. I love it. What a weird end to a weird Nitro. What the fuck?
Weirdest part of that, all that about that, was Mongo and Bischoff high-fiving after they handcuffed Heenan. It was
Yeah.
like, we did it. Yay.
Just so
Okay.
gross. All of it was bad and forced and not good. And there was racisms apparently that I'm even missed.
There was
And there was just bad. There's bad. It was a bad
this was a
Nitro.
really bad show. They kept mentioning that there was like tornado warnings and everything in the area. So like, I wonder if the weather was really actually that bad and they were like kind of just rushing stuff to get out just in case they needed to evacuate. But like,
Maybe.
it was it
It
sucked.
also
This
felt
was
kind of
like a sh
short for a Nitro, too.
Yes, it did. Yeah, this was like a shockingly bad Nitro.
Yeah, no, that is a raw tier Nitro what I'm calling it. Raw tier. Is in bad. Maybe in a couple of years, raw tier will mean good. We'll see. We'll get there.
Okay, geez. All right, is it on? Okay. This is a transmission from the Monday Night Fake Fight sub-basement. Technically, I don't even know if you guys are supposed to know that we exist, but we've been doing some light experimentation with maybe a little bit of force feming of a clone of Michael Hayes, and I just have to let you know she escaped. So keep an eye out. There may or may not be someone calling themselves Gok Hendricks trying to, you know, shill things to you. It's part of the programming, but keep an eye out for that. And okay, I have to take this. This is the Dom basement. Yes, yes, no, more mullet.
But speaking of Raw.
All right. So like, I'm actually happy to talk about Raw this time.
Yeah, right? We start off with Bread being sad Canada man, you know, in our opening package, you know? So we got
poor Brett.
He's got stuff to say. He may not come back because he feels betrayed. And again, I say, Brett, just you wait, buddy. You feel betrayed now.
He's saying all this stuff, and I was like, wait, what year is it?
Yeah. Oh, that's
okay. I forgot that they like did this beforehand.
Yeah, like they really kind of wrote it ahead of time. Team Tassels are out in the ring already. I think it's a singles match, but the new Rockers.
Yeah, the new Rockers.
Not the old ones, the new ones.
The new ones. Oh, God.
The opposition coming out being Mark Mero and Sable being very hot Sable-y in her, like, official Sable outfit. Like that's like her Sable wear, I feel like.
So is this the first time she's with Mero? That was the impression I got from commentary.
Kinda, yeah. Like, they had this thing where she was initially with Hunter for, like, a night, and then Mero showed up. And it was like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And then there was like a will they, won't they sort of thing. And I think this might be the first or second time she's with Mero now. It's very strange.
What is his, like, in kayfabe, like, his main gimmick seems to just be stealing other people's women.
Yeah, he's the wild man. He's the wild man, Mark Mero. And eventually they're going to lean into the boxing of it. And give him like boxing shorts and shit, and it's whatever. I don't know, as far as Mark Mero and the Fed is concerned, call me when you start shooting star pressing, otherwise I just don't care. But the person that he's fighting is Leaf Cassidy. Is Al Snow in the crowd. There's a sign that says Lee Cassidy, WWF champ in 7 years. Lee Cassidy. Big fan, doesn't know his name.
Which just goes to show how bad commentary is if they can't tell you what his name is.
That's what I thought too. I was like, guys, you are failing so bad because this guy's a fan. Really likes this guy.
Otherwise, doesn't know his name. Otherwise, that's a fantastic sign. Like, no name.
Yeah.
I hope Al has that somewhere in his house framed.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's like, guys, I went back and I found that fan. And I got that sign. And it's hanging up in Ohio Valley Wrestling now. Mark has his super hot valet at ringside Sable, and so does Al Snow, Marty Jannetty. yeah, captain of the Tassels. This match sucks shit, though. Mark's trying, but Al just doesn't have it yet. Like, I like Al Snow, later Al Snow. He don't got it yet.
This has been such a weird match to think about and watch, because like we've watched a lot of Johnny B. Badd matches. And he was always like the highlight on the shows.
He's so good.
And he's like working long 15-minute matches, and then like here he's working like at half pace against Leaf Cassidy.
Oh my god,
I don't know if it's Cassidy or if it's like somebody told him to slow down.
But I don't know. I'm guessing it's Cassidy. Like Al's just doesn't. I'm gonna keep calling him Al. I feel terrible, but I don't. It's Al. Every time I see his big fucking face and his big fucking smile, I'm like, that's Al Snow. But no, I think he just sucks. I think he's just not good yet. is basically what it comes down to, because he's not hitting the timing with Mark at all. And like, I feel like he's slowing it down for him and he's still not getting it.
It was super duper rough.
Yeah, it was very rough.
Kind of picks up a little bit when Mark is selling for
him. Yeah, it has its moments. The best move of the match so far, though, was Jannetty murdering Mero with a lariat on the outside.
Yes, that was when I realized that they were actually heels.
Yeah.
I thought they were just dorks.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was the gimmick. They're huge goofs.
They're huge goofs.
Oh, no, they're bad guys.
Oh, Vince they're even says guys. Dorkish energy at one point.
He kept saying that.
That would have been fine. Yeah, they're just goofballs. But no, they're supposed to be bad guys. They're just really not good at it. Al keeps doing this excited taunt where I think he's like shaking his arms in the air with excitement.
Yeah, he's like doing like a little
like shimmy. Yeah, but it just looks like he's jerking off invisible cocks with excitement. And I get it, Al. I do. I understand. I too would love that. But this is a family show. Okay. Calm down, Mr. Cassidy. The cocksucking was not enough to save him, though. Mark gets on the top rope. Sunset flip finisher for the win. The match barely ends before we get a phone call from Diesel in Germany. Because they also just didn't care about this match at all. Like,
wow.
Hey.
Well, that is certainly a match that happens. And now we've got Diesel on the phone.
From Germany, and he's Guten Tag.
That's probably the only German he knows.
I laughed so fucking hard because he's just like stone German Guten Tag. So they're using their long distance minutes because remember this is 1996 to go over what happened in the last 2 weeks. I guess like we're gonna do an exposition long distance from Germany. Sean gets hit by Diesel's chair. Diesel gets hit by Sean's tiny fists of fury. Mr. Perfect does heel shit, you know, like all that. Vince accuses Diesel of taking advantage of Sean in a delirious state. And that made me uncomfortable because, again, there were signs. Well, so yeah, that's the old,
there were signs.
Our old segment. Because why would you use that language, Vince? Why?
Why indeed?
But yes, he got him to, he hit him with the title belt and got him to agree to a no DQ match, which is just ridiculous. Woo. Meanwhile, though, they send out a smoking gun, I believe it to be Bart. On the way to commercial, yes. With some quick shots of Sunny being hot. And I think that's supposed to be a tease for the music video coming later. And if so, God. All right. Well, that's certainly going to be a thing that happens.
I have thoughts on that.
We'll get there. I have thoughts and feelings. There were feelings, mostly thoughts. Back from commercial to a close-up of a very wet, very green-lit Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes,
he's
Stone Cold Steve Austin with the million-dollar title.
He's starting to get his deranged eyeball look down, though, more and more. Yep. Steve versus Bart Gunn, this smells of possible banger, for sure. And, like, there's solid back and forth, like, in the beginning, like, top wrist locks. You know, like things of this nature, ye old wrestling holds. And then
they did some they did some mat work. They did some exchanges of offense.
Yes, exchanges of offense, counters and counter counters. Yeah, exactly. Hands were held in a aggressive manner. So then a few minutes in, Austin just like sends him flying outside and he lands fucking hard. And I was like, whoa. Okay.
That was scary,
and I don't know if Bart meant to go that hard. And after, like, from that point out, it's like Austin flipped the bionic redneck switch, and, like, he's just hitting the shit out of him and brawling. So I don't know if maybe, I was like, I don't know, did Bart talk some shit? But, like, all of a sudden, he's, like, Austin, and, like, I'm getting goosebumps. I'm like, okay, yeah, no more mat work, fuck him up. There's a sign in the crowd reading Bischoff and Mongo make me vomit. I know. I know. Yes. Yes. I was like, yes.
I'd agree with that. I was like, heartily.
I noticed that there's no Bobby Heenan mentioned on that sign. And I say, good man. Good man. True patriot facts. Yes. well signed. we get a rest hold in Bart Gunn after a small nap begins barting up, smacking his cowboy boot on the floor until he gets out of it, makes a big old comeback sequence out of it, and gets a nice bulldog for two. I'll give him that. Bart's okay, I guess. That's why I come with out of this mostly with is Bart's okay. He gets him in a sleeper, and Austin does like the sit down jawbreaker. Like, uh-huh. And I like, yeah. did it happen to you? What happened to me? Where I was like,
oh, I was like, oh, oh,
oh, oh,
yeah.
Remember,
I just have an all caps daughter.
Yes, daughter. Not quite there. I was just like, oh, Steve. You did a thing that looks so familiar and pleasing to me. I like this movement. Maybe do something with that.
Yeah, maybe we can work it. Let's workshop this.
Yeah, yeah. Workshop that on the Discord. Yeah, there you go. Holy fuck, that was so good. Austin gets the $1 million dream in off of it, and that's the end of that. It's never going to be not strange to me seeing Steve Austin choke a guy out. Like, it's just weird. It's not right. I don't like it. I need it to be done.
It's so strange how like much the $1 million dream or Cobra Clutch or whatever you want to call it is like not that good of a submission.
Yeah, it's really not.
But like guys, they keep trying to use it all over the place. Like remember Okada tried getting it over?
Yeah. The money clip? Yeah, I was gonna say the money clip.
And everyone just said stop doing the money clip. He's like, I'm gonna do the money clip.
Stop doing the money clip. He's like, bitch. And it's like, no, don't. I know we like please when stop. You say bitch. I love it, Okada. Stop doing the money clip.
It's awesome, but you don't need to do the money clip. Yeah. I thought this match was really kick ass. Like I really liked this match. I didn't think it was so much as like not necessarily Austin turning his switch, but Gunn turned a switch.
Yeah.
And that made Austin match him.
Yeah.
Because like there were parts of it that looked like it was not like two guys, like you know how like they always complain is like, oh, you know, wrestling looks like two guys working together to do stuff. This one looked more like it was guys fighting each other.
Yep.
And they sold a lot of the fact that like, you know, Austin's just this really good all around wrestler.
Yeah.
Like the jawbreaker he did, that's not the stunner, but it's kind of the stunner.
But not
I like
stunner.
How they sold the pseudo stunner. they said it was like, oh, he does that because that's his counter if somebody hits him with his own finisher or any kind of sleeper. That, like he knows how to get out of it. Like that's his counter for it is the stunner. So like, oh, we've got a little bit of a backstory now on why the stunner is
why the
a move
stunner
that
is
he
the
uses.
Stunner. Yeah, it's kind of like that continuity happens right. Over time. Yeah. I love that shit. He's been a really great example of it so far, as far as like getting to see one of the legends of my youth grow into it
right.
Over time. Like his has been very slow and steady. As far as that goes, and it's been really cool, like seeing, like from someone on commentary calling him a stone cold person as he's walking out, to all of a sudden that's his name is yep. Steve Austin, not the ringmaster, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's like watching it happen in couple of weeks at a time. It's been so fucking cool. This was a good one for it. But now it's Vader time.
It's Vader time.
It is Vader time.
I hate to say how much I enjoyed a segment with Cornette in it, but this was fucking awesome.
No, this was I wrote to you. Unfortunately, it's also Jim Cornette time. But he gives us some exposition about Vader murdering Gorilla and murdering Yokozuna. His voice only cracks like once. I'm proud of him. And then Vader also has a lot to say. Namely, Vader!
Who's that Pokemon?
Vader! Vader!
Vader used mood salt. It's super effective.
Yeah, it's super effective, Vader! I love it. No, he is. He's the most Pokemon fucking wrestler of all time. Vince tells us that Razor Ramon is going to be his next victim in your house. Corny does some more corny stuff. Vader agrees with it. Yeah. And then he just kind of barks in Corny's face while he's talking. And like, you know, it smells crazy in there. Like, poor Corny. Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't even know if Jim Cornette deserves that. And then ends it with a big old Vader time. And there we go. Vader time. Power. This was
I think what they did most effectively in this, and this is, again, I have to give Cornette credit for this, was he kind of like sold, he was trying to sell the fact, like, you know, I could barely contain this guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like the entire time, like, Vader's like bouncing off the ropes, walking around the ring, pacing.
Yes.
And like he gets up like in Cornette's face, and Cornette's got to be like, no, calm down.
Yeah, calm down. Stop barking
like,
at me.
They like perfectly sold like his, like, you got his character, you understand what he's about.
Yeah,
it's so cool. And then like I definitely noticed they mentioned when they were talking about Razor, Cornette's line, Razor Ramon may soon cease to exist.
Yeah, he knew.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, what did Corny know? Turns out everything. A lot. It's his job to know all these things. I'm sitting here thinking, like, I don't even remember Razor Ramon and Vader fighting. Like, maybe it's just because we're still in that memory hole place. Arturo Garcia talked about how this whole era kind of, it's just like, yeah, I don't know, I kind of remember it, but not really. And so, like, maybe it'll happen. I didn't think that Ultimate Warrior actually came back, and it turns out he's, like, fighting Goldust and shit. So it's like, all right, maybe.
It's very interesting, because it's like, everybody knows when Razor and Nash jumped over, but like nobody ever really talks about what they did right before, except for like the, you know, the curtain call.
Yeah, outside of the curtain call, it's like, well, what were they up to? You know, and like Diesel's trying to do a title run with his best friend guy, Sean, and that's, you know, gonna end obviously how it's going to end. You know? So what really is he doing?
Right, exactly.
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot at all. So, and we have reached the part of Raw with not a whole lot of nothing going on. A couple weeks back, they did like a Bret Hart music video, and it was just, it was like the Souls on Fire song, I think, or Hearts on Fire. I don't know. Something's on fire. And it was just a bunch of like pictures and like B-roll of Bret doing Bret things. It wasn't a music video. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a music video has a storyline, even if it's just like this is a show, you know, like there's something to it, but there was nothing to this. And like, this is what they have done again, but this time with Sonny, and it's just,
it's bad.
It's just a bunch of Sonny being sexy and doing like photo shoot stuff. It's Sonny on photo shoots is what it is. And that's cool, but it's not a music video.
Now, I got this as like, it's a Sonny Gravure. I can't ever say it right. But like those Japanese softcore porn movies.
Oh, God.
Like, they're just in some swimsuits. Like, that's what it is.
Basically.
Over this like really terrible Jim Johnson song.
Oh, her theme song is so bad, dude.
It's really bad.
She knows we want her. Yes.
Thoughts, dirty minds. I bet your eyes. I be your eyes staring from behind. You want my body. You want my touch. You want to do things you never discuss.
Yo, God. Yeah, no. That's kid show. Kid show, folks. Welcome to the family programming.
Like, the worst thing is, like, imagine Jim Johnson writing those lyrics.
Oh, my God, right? Have y'all ever seen a picture of this dude? Like, I want you to look that guy up and imagine him writing those lyrics for Sonny. And, like, again, Sonny is beautiful. Like, holy shit, should have been a model, but not for Vince fucking McMahon.
No, like, not that's doing really this.
Like, so gross.
It's like part, like, you had Sable, have this video. It's like you're starting to see the beginnings of Vince's Divas bullshit.
Yeah, he's like,
it's like starting to take formation.
And I know you notice we haven't had any women's wrestling since Wendy took the belt and left. Or not Wendy, Medusa, not Wendy Richter. Since Medusa took the belt and left. And it's like, okay, so he doesn't, he's like, okay, good, fuck him. He doesn't want women's wrestling. He wants Sonny's ass. And like Sable's boobs. And like.
And they were all over that video.
Oh, and there was a solid 6 second slow motion shot of her ass. Like up close, like what the fuck? Like, holy hell.
It's like, I get the appeal. I understand.
Yes. I understand. I too was a gay teenager in the
90s. I love women.
Yeah. It's yeah, fun. Exactly. Like, I get it, but no. Yeah.
No. And just like the history behind it and the history of everything else is just.
And the fact
that it's very uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah. And the fact that she's like in jail now and like, it's just the whole thing is, yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's just like, none of this is good. So like they go from that to like, all right, we did that. Now let's do the real gay shit. We come back to Graps with Savio and Goldust. Yes. Vince gets all worked up promoing the In Your House. And he's like, title match between Goldust and Warrior for the IC belt. And then he's like, if that's how it goes, maybe Savio could win here. And I was like, you fucked up, didn't you? Like, yeah. He started because like, the way I saw is because like it's Vince going, I want to sell the idea that Warrior could be Intercontinental Championship again, because like that's where this is going. Warrior and the IC belt are an iconic duo, you know, like that's what he's trying. He wants to sell that to the point that he forgets that like you have to get there, bud. You're kind of giving away how you're getting there. I was like, okay.
I think the way they walked it back, it was like, even if Goldust loses the title, he'll face Warrior anyway because of, I don't know why. I don't know why Warrior was out there with Goldust.
A couple of last week's episode was them having a confrontation, and Warrior is going to fight Goldust for the good of masculinity and literally mankind. Mankind, not McFoley, not womankind, mankind, cishet, white, mankind.
Sounds like something Jim Hellwig would say.
Yeah, no, literally, basically, like they did the promo for it was something else. And I was just like, this is. I'm happy for this to be over soon. Like, can we just please get to the happy times of my childhood where Goldust and Marlena just kept trying to like hot wife other people's valets. That's a good bit. Like, that's very funny to me. I feel like that's mostly harmless. Can we get away from the gay bashing? Like I understand it's where his character came from, but I liked it more when he kind of evolves from queer to uncomfortably polyamorous. Like is basically the evolution. They're like, okay, we'll make it more that. And you know, that's a good time. We start the match with Dustin licking the belt again, totally normal. They get real gay with it right away. Dustin's like sticking his tongue out, going hard on rubbing up on him and stuff. And like, this must be the program where Savio told him to like do it harder. Like, basically,
like he went for it. He was like doing Dan Shokudino level stuff.
He gets him in the corner, he's grinding his ass on his crotch and shit, and the crowd like collectively pearl clutch sound, you know. And I was like, it was fucking beautiful, honestly. I loved it. I was like, yes, make them freaked out. Why Savio does the greatest thing he could do in this match, though, is when Dustin is recovering in the corner, he walks up and smacks his ass.
Yes.
And I was like, these two fucking rule. Like, these two get it. They understand wrestling. Yep.
Savio knew how to play the game.
Yeah, he's a great babyface. Like, he's fucking... I always knew him as a heel in, like, Barriquas and shit, and in the Nation of Domination. So, like, I always knew Savio was a heel, and I didn't realize how good of a fucking babyface he was. And that I've really enjoyed seeing this early Savio shit. Fucking amazing. Goldust continues to use the power of his ass, though. He does like the Naomi style ass attack off the Irish whip. Good one too. Like, I feel like Naomi would be proud.
Yeah. I remember using that when whichever WWF game was out at this time. I always loved using Goldust and using that.
The fucking butt stop. Yes.
Yeah, the butt stop.
They absolutely pop that in the game. I remember that too. Good for them. The crowd is booing the shit out of him though, and he decides he's going to grab a mic. So this is kind of wild that this happened on TV. Yeah. He gets the mic and he says to the crowd that he needs them all to shut up, or he will come out and kiss every one of them. And they go fucking nuts. He's like, I will gay assault every one of you, even the women somehow. I will make it gay.
I don't know if that was like planned or if like he just grabbed the mic and was like, this would be like, we got to get more heat on this.
Yeah, like it's really leaning into it even harder. Like, give me the mic. I'm going to fucking go this far. It worked.
It was really good. Like, the crowd was pretty hot for it in the first place, but like, they were nuclear at that moment.
Yeah, really. Holy shit. And then to even get even harder, Savio tries to make a comeback, and instead Dustin knocks him to the ground and then like does like a teabagging situation. Like, goes to teabag him, and Savio wakes up just in time to counter for like a pinning attempt. But like, he keeps going. It's so good. Like, this shit is fucking amazing. Goldie goes to the top. He gets knocked on his nuts on the turnbuckle. Lawler says his Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I guess that's the origin of that.
Yeah, I begrudgingly give that one to you, King. Savio then super kicks him, getting like full reach to his face on the top rope. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
yeah, it's like, I always forget that Savio has like some really good kicks.
Like, holy fuck, how, because you see him and you're like, he's, you know, he's not like fat, but he's a bigger dude.
Yeah.
And he's shorter.
Got, like, a larger frame.
Yeah, he's shorter, so he looks like stocky. So when you see him do things that athletic, it's like, holy fuck. See, also like Rikishi. Like, Rikishi does that shit all the fucking time where it's like, you shouldn't be able to kick that high, dude. What the fuck? Good shit. Then like, go to commercial. Well, I should say, to finish the sequence, because we mentioned all I cared about was the face, the kick to the face. Goes for a superplex, gets tops off. Goldust tries to jump on him and gets another boot on the counter from the mat. Good shit. But yeah, we go, he like starts Savioing up as we go to commercial. And I was like, this is the important part. Not the rest of the sequence, the fact that he did the thing. He did the Hulk thing, even though he's Savio Vega. This is what I care about. That's what's worth noting, folks.
This is what classic wrestling is all about. Yeah. Pumping your fists and shaking your arms a little bit, like, whoa.
Hopping your boot if you're Bart Gunn, you know? We come back.
Look at the crowd.
That's what
the crowd gives you power.
That's totally what it is. So we come back for commercial. Nice little sequence that ends with Savio running into Hebner for a ref bump. You know, there you go. Uh-huh. Marlena brings Goldust the belt for some good old-fashioned cheating. But Savio keeps super kicking his head off instead. And it's, again, just like, fucking stop it. Like, smacking his hand away, but booting the face. He does it, like, twice, and it's great. And, like, Tim White's, like, trying to wake him up. So, like, Timmy's out there, too. So you got the two refs. He finally Savio's like, fuck this, and he grabs the belt and hits Goldust with the belt and goes for the pin. And like, Hebner crawls towards him and gives it to him, but Tim White, buds, he saw the belt hit, and unfortunately he decides that he's gonna be a little sneaker about it. So
Party Pooper,
everyone's happy though. Savio's new IC champ, woohoo. Goldust. Tim White saw the belt shot though, so he gets Gorilla Monsoon out here, and he like reaches over and holds up Goldust's arm like, no, he won. So like, Gorilla comes out and explains it to the Fink. The crowd's mad. Finkel says Gorilla is stripping Goldust of the title, and the crowd like cheers, like, yeah. And then he's like, yay, the title will be vacant. Boo! Boo.
Which is my reaction as well. I was like, boo. Yeah. This is dumb.
This is totally unnecessary. Savio doesn't win, but next week there will be a rematch and the winner will get the title. So they just like delayed the end of this feud by a week with fuckery. Okay, delightful. Like, that's
what I'm not mad about.
I'm not mad at all.
I could watch Goldie and Savio go at it.
Exactly.
Anytime. Like, they have fantastic chemistry together.
Exactly. I would watch, like, a whole program of this over several pay-per-views, but they don't have that kind of, they're cowards. they don't have the bravery.
They really are.
Yeah, they couldn't actually give us that. So now they're like showing us Brett crying in the back after WrestleMania, like yelling, "Get out, get out, get out,
get out, please,
get out, please, get out. I need Owen." So he leaves without showering, tells the cameraman that he's gonna fuck off for a while, and they bleep it, which is like, "Ooh, edgy." And this is after, Ultimate Warrior said shit last week on the mic. Yeah, but they bleeped it because it wasn't live. So
that canned stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They then decide they're going to catch up with him in Germany because I guess that's what fucking off means, is he's going to go wrestle in Germany.
I know when I want to take a break, I go to Germany.
Yeah, I go to Bonn, Germany. Yeah. Yeah, so you got Brett.
You have to think of a reason to why are they in Germany? Oh, it's definitely not a house show.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a house show. It's a house show. I mean, Diesel called him from Germany too. It's like, why are all these guys calling from Germany?
Why did everybody go to Germany? What do they like about it so much over there?
It's the river. The Brett's by the water. It's beautiful. He explains it. He's explaining to
it
us.
Did look nice, yeah.
It did look really nice. He's like complaining about the bullshit finish. Which is pretty fucking funny to me. Like, yeah, dude, we know we're there. We watched it. It sucked. It sucked for you. It was great for us. It was dramatic. Then they cut to where he must have been asked if he would ever leave for WCW because of it. He's like, I'm not saying what company. I'd never leave because it'd be a step down. You know, even though they're giving out, I hear they're giving out a lot of money. You know, and. You know, I crave respect over money, and I'm like, buddy, you should have listened to your own advice.
Yeah, he should have. Oh, man, can you imagine?
The fucking foreshadowing there. Like, that's we end Raw with unintentional foreshadowing after starting it with some, too. Like, it's like, buddy, this is not... You think you got screwed now, Britt. You're gonna... Oof.
It's so funny, because, like, they basically... set up that, like, they told the story of the Montreal screw job here,
yeah,
but it's like actually a storyline, because that's like his whole thing is that, like, I got screwed. Like, I was told I was wrestling an Iron Man match, not an Iron Man match plus, you know, so, finish. Like,
yeah,
he's got to beat me.
Yep, so that's his whole point. Thing. He's got a point in kayfabe.
Brett, like, is always right.
Brett is always right. If rules existed, like, and actually mattered, he would be right. Brett is always right, and he was right. America stinks.
America stinks.
America stinks.
Go Canada. Go Congratulations Canada. To Canada on winning the Four Nations hockey game last night, too. Good job, guys.
Fuck yeah. I didn't know anything about that, but good on ya. Good
job, guys.
I'm not sure what the Canadian version of, like, Kapla is, but, like, they speak Klingon up there, right? I don't know.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I'm sure that some of them probably.
Klingon with the Quebecois accent.
Oh my god!
I don't know what amazing. That would sound like.
Oh my god! I got to get Liz Ransdell back on the hidden Canadian. I was like, do they speak Klingon in Quebec? Holy shit! Oh god! All right, we need to finish this show because I'm getting loopy.
This is going long, yeah.
Yeah. What do you have a favorite match of the week? I feel like I know what mine was.
Mine would be actually, now that we've talked about Goldust and Savio, I think I gotta give it to Goldie and Savio. That was such a really good match. I almost said Austin and Gunn.
I was gonna give it to Austin and Gunn because
that was a really good match, but, like, I just, the more I think about Goldust versus Vega, it's like it's they told, like, a very good story, and Savio was, like, probably the perfect opponent for Goldust, like the character Goldust. Like,
yeah,
he got it.
He really
had so much chemistry. Like, it was such a fun match too. The ending was stupid as hell.
Yeah,
but it was such a good match.
Yeah, it was a great match, except that ending, and that's so very Raw. But that's also been happening a lot on Nitro. I think that's just a thing of this era. Like, they want everything's got to be screwy. I say that's reeks of Hogan. It's the Hogan of it all, or and sometimes the Dusty of it all, the Dusty finish. You know, like, yeah, but not really. But
as, I hadn't thought about that. They did do a Dusty finish for that, didn't they?
Yeah, they do.
for Gold Dust, a Dusty finish. Fuck.
Yep, it makes sense. I would say ask you who won this week, but we already know.
I said it out the bat.
Yeah, begrudgingly Raw. Yeah, I would say Raw didn't win, but Nitro lost. You know what I mean? Like, Raw didn't win, kind of like Brett said, like, he didn't beat me. He won, but he didn't beat me. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for it up. Yeah, fucking fantastic. You're very good. You're a wonderful guest, Erica. Thank you for coming back a third time.
Thanks for having me.
You are so fucking good at this show. I was going to say, you're good at this show, but how are you good at this show?
I don't know.
That's a weird thing to be good at. Yeah.
I don't know. I got hammered by the Uncensored, but like the main feed, I'm sober.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna, no, the Patreon, sometimes Erica's drunk.
But one time.
I said sometimes. I was giving you, you know, leeway to do it again. Cool. Just in case. In the meantime, you have anything you want to promote or things you want to point people towards or point them away from?
We talked about doing Sawyer's podcast.
Yeah.
I did do an episode of that.
International Object.
Thank you. I was just about to look that up. The International Object podcast. I did an episode of that with Sawyer. It was a lot of fun. I have Blue Sky at Skagmar at Blue Sky. You can find me there if you really want to follow me. And I'm working on launching a blog. It's going to be called Transitional Champion.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my announcement for that. So keep an eye out for that.
Fuck yeah. Announcements. I like announcements. I love when my friends do things. Do the things.
We do the things
over here, folks. This thing that we... as. This thing we do, as they like to say about pro wrestling, and
we do the deal.
We do the deal. This thing we do, Triple Paul. God, I hate when they say that shit because they're trying this industry. This thing they're trying to make themselves sound like mobsters, and they sound stupid. All right, that's how we're ending it. Fuck Triple H. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. And Patreon, if you want to hear Drunk Erica talk about Uncensored while we watch it, patreon.com/mnffpod. Let's see, Goofs and Graps. Oh, yeah. The store there, that's garricksmid.store. And go find some wrestling-related merchandising. I should put out some more stuff there. It's been a while. But otherwise, we will see you next time. Thank you, folks. More Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.